Thank you very much for coming along here this afternoon. I appreciate everybody that has come along to this seminar on the subject of partnerships. Now, perhaps this afternoon you are thinking partnerships. Partnerships sound sometimes a little bit scary and so on. But I want, first of all, just to help us to understand just how important partnerships are in everyday life, in all that we are involved in. And of course, the fact is that we have many, many different types of partnerships even within our lives. So you, first of all, just think of a couple, you know, married couple. That is a partnership. Two people coming together and working together and so on. So that is probably the most simple and the most common, well-known partnership that there is. So, a lot less scary. Now, most of us here are involved in CEF in some way. And again, we have partnerships even within CEF. I would say this afternoon that probably everybody here falls into one of these three categories. Either you are a full-time CEF worker, either you support the work of CEF financially, or else you are a prayer warrior, you pray for the work of CEF. And those are all partnerships. In other words, all of these three groups all need to work together. If you're a full-time worker, you need the prayer support, and you also need the financial support. So it is a three-way split, and again, each one is valid, and each one is vitally important in the partnership. A full-time worker cannot go out, do all the outreach work, etc., without that prayer support, without the financial support. You, as a, maybe as a business person today, yes, you can contribute financially. You are not in a position to go out day by day to evangelize children, but somebody else is doing that part of the partnership for you. So it is very important to realize that all of us are involved in partnerships day by day. Today we have gathered here, and part of my role here is to try and inspire you into thinking about partnerships, getting involved in new partnerships. And at the same time, probably when you go home, the idea will be that you try and inspire either people in your own country, in your own area, in your own work, and inspire them into partnerships as well. So it is all important. So that is what I'm here to do, is to try to inspire you. Now, I'm going to try and share with you, first of all, probably the partnership. One of the partnerships that I know best, in our Ministry of Revival Movement Association, we have many different types of partnerships. I partner with many different missionary organizations right around the world. We, of course, are a literature printing ministry. We print the literature. We print a lot of different types of items. We send it to many different ministries. So first of all, I thought it would be good for you just to get a little bit of a grasp where I'm coming from, the very fact that we have these partnerships and how we work and so on. And then we will develop on into the work of CEF. We have our own factory. The factory that we have is 36,000 square foot of space. This just shows you the reception, myself involved in administration. Then we have, as well, we have Heather here involved in accounts, and Timothy involved in the correspondence with our supporters and so on. We then have other folk involved in the offices as well. Isabel here is involved in setting up type. She does a lot of correspondence for me and so on. Lady in the red is my wife. Carol, she also works in the office as well. She's involved in the correspondence, the overseas correspondence that we get from all around the world. Just to take you into the actual factory itself, first of all, we have our store. There we have all the paper coming in, ready for printing. You see a machine there holding a roll of paper. That roll of paper will weigh about half a ton. So that just gives you a little idea. Every day we take about 5 tons of paper out of that store, put it through the printing presses, and then we have the finished literature coming out, going into the shelves there, and getting ready for shipping. Sorry, I pressed too quick there. Then we have the plate making. Anybody that's involved in printing will understand that we need to make printing plates for all of the different printing presses. So we have 3 different types of printing presses. Stephen here is involved in preparing all those plates, working out exactly how everything's going to be printed, getting those plates made and ready for each of the printing presses. This first machine here on the left is what we call a Heidelberg 5-color printing press. We use it for printing all the CF flashcard Bible lessons. We use it for printing all sorts of any type of sheets of material, whether it's large, small, thick, thin, all different types of paper, all sorts of material is printed from this particular 5-color press. Then we have another printing press. It's an older press, but it's involved in printing all the inside pages of Gospels of John. To give you an idea, we would print about over 8 million Gospels of John in the year. We print all the Wonder Devotional book, inside pages, all that type of material is printed on this machine as well. Then the machine on the right-hand side of the picture is the Concepta printing press. This is a very fast machine. It prints full color as well. Whenever this is running a roll of paper through the machine, it is printing at a speed of 200 meters of paper in a minute. Another way of thinking of that, or if you want to think yards, you can say yards, but another way of thinking of it is about 3.5 yards of paper every second is going through this machine. So, and that could be printing both sides. All right, so that gives you an idea just the sheer speed of the machine. So very, very fast machine. Then we have our guillotine for cutting all the material. Because often we will print, say we're printing CF flashcards, we will print 8 pictures on one page and then afterwards cut them all up. Then we have the collating machine. So this is bringing all the printed pages all together. We can put 20 different pages, so we can put a whole flashcard onto this machine, it collates the whole lot in one go, and then we can go on to the spiral binding, for example. We have a total of 6 different folding machines, all different types of folding machines. Some of them we have glue on them so that we can actually glue booklets, trim, finish the booklets from a printed sheet. The machine down here at the bottom, it takes those big rolls. We would print up, say, maybe 200,000 tracks on one of those rolls of paper. It takes that roll, unwinds it, cuts it into small sheets, folds the sheets, trims the tracks, bundles the tracks up, and we will be having roughly 100,000 tracks an hour coming off that machine. And the operator, all he simply has to do is pack those nice neat bundles coming off the machine. Then we have 2 what we call saddle stitcher machines. So we have the pages for booklets all printed, that we've seen that earlier on. Then they come to this machine. This machine will take the pages, build the pages up into a booklet, put the cover on, staple the pages, then trim all the edges, and again put them into nice neat bundles coming out. Each of these machines is capable, and roughly an average production would be about 60,000 booklets in a day. So that would be what each of those machines are producing. Then we have our dispatch. First of all, we have the small parcels that we would be posting out. So those would be going to maybe individual pastors around the world. And then we have our 20-foot container loads of literature as well. Those will be going out We again, as Rhys was saying last night, for those of you who are Americans, over 40,000 pound weight will be in one of those containers. If you want it in tons, you're talking in nearly 20 tons of literature into a 20-foot container. And that we will ship off to some part of the world, to some missionary organization. And some of those are, of course, are going to CEF. Just to give you a couple of facts and figures, last year in our factory, we used a total of 1,372 tons of paper. And that produced something in the region of 84 million pieces of gospel literature. That is anything from a gospel tract through to a gospel of John, through to a set of children's Bible lessons. So that's giving you just a little bit of an overview as to Revival Movement Association. Of course, we have a partnership with CEF. Last night I was just sharing, but here's the figures again. For the last 3 years, we have printed a total of 1,128 tons of literature for CEF, and that has gone worldwide. If you're into CEF boxes of books, you're talking over 450,000 boxes of books, which amounted to over 26.5 million pieces of literature. So a lot of literature going out right across our world. Now, as I say, this is a partnership with CEF. And what is the partnership? Well, as far as I'm concerned, CEF have got really high quality productions. Good writing and beautiful illustrations. So CEF have got good literature. But what do they not have? They don't have the ability of getting it right around the world in the quantities that are needed. Where do we fit in? We have got the printing equipment. We have got the facilities, we have the machinery and so on, and the ability to actually print and to ship. So merge the two together. In other words, the quality literature and the machinery, and therefore we can work together to reach boys and girls with the gospel message. And that is what that partnership is, and that is why we work together so closely in order to help to reach as many with the gospel as possible. So this afternoon, what is a partnership? As far as I am concerned, a partnership is two like-minded groups working together for the same goal. Two like-minded groups working together for the same goal. And therefore, they share resources for that same goal. Now, when I'm talking about partnerships, and why are we here and why are we talking about partnerships today? Well, I have got a question, because we're here, it's a CEF conference, CEF, we're into CEF. And I have a question today for you, and it is a very simple question. How desperate are you to reach children with the gospel? How desperate are you to reach children? You see, sometimes we think, well, yeah, I'm involved in my work and so on. But sometimes it can almost get to the focus that CEF is the important part. And CEF is the organization with which we run with and which helps us and so on. But CEF is not the important bit. It's the children and how many children we are going to reach with the gospel. That is what is really, really important. And that is why I'm asking you the question, how desperate? Do you really want to reach more? Or are you happy and content in the way and the situation you are in at this present time? Are you satisfied that you're really reaching the maximum number of children? Or do we have a vision and do we have a burden to reach more children? If you have a vision and a burden to reach more children, then partnerships will be of benefit to you as to how to reach more children. The question that I have this afternoon is, where are the children? Where are children? So often we have a problem with how do we actually get the boys and girls? How do we have access to them? How do we actually meet up with them? Where do we actually get them? Well, where are our children? First of all, they're at home in homes, they're at school, or they're in churches. Those are three places that you will more than likely find boys and girls. And then we ask the question, are churches doing a good job in reaching children with the gospel? You will know the answer to that yourselves. Are churches doing a good job or not? Are missions, maybe you're in another country, are missions there doing a good job in reaching the children? And that is another point that we have to ask ourselves today. Are missions? And some missions are doing a good job and they have access to a lot of children. Churches sometimes have access to a lot of boys and girls as well. But today the question really is, what are the strengths of CEF that maybe other groups, other missions, other churches are lacking? What are the strengths? Well, I believe that there are a couple of real strengths that CEF have. And you'll be well aware of what those are. The first one is training. Again, quality training. CEF workers are well trained and they have the ability to train others. So you have got that fantastic thing, that fantastic strength of your training and your ability to train others. And the other thing that you have, which I have already mentioned, is the literature itself. You have already got quality literature that you can present to others. You know, so often I have people visit our factory from other missions, other places, and so on. And so often, whenever I show people around our factory, they see the CEF flashcards sitting and they immediately pounce on them. What's this? How can I get this? I would love to have this type of material. And that is the reaction time after time after time. You know, and I have to say, well, this is CEF literature. You know, this belongs to CEF. You know, do you know about CEF? You know, and I ask them these questions and so on. And so often I introduce them to the work of CEF. And again, quality literature immediately speaks. I have seen many different people in many different situations jump the moment they have seen the flashcard Bible lessons because of their quality. And you as CEF workers have got that as one of your great strengths. So you've got training, you've got literature. Now I'm going to turn us upside down a little bit. I'm going to ask you, well, what does CEF lack as such? And as far as I'm concerned, what CEF sometimes lacks is the opportunity to reach the boys and girls. So often, sometimes we struggle with this. How do we get to the boys and girls? How do we get speaking to them? Where's the access to them? And sometimes as well, we even have a lack of literature for some of the foreign countries and so on. And sometimes that can be a problem. I'm not saying that's a problem everywhere, but for some people and for certain situations, that can be a problem. I want just for a second, just again, to look at the strengths using the literature. Think of the flashcards, beautifully illustrated with excellent teaching material. You know those flashcards, you don't need me to tell you. But here's the question, how many Sunday school teachers would like to be able to use those flashcards? How many people, you know, you think of your country, all right? How many Sunday school teachers are handling very little and haven't got really good resources and they would just love to have that type of material? There are literally hundreds of thousands of teachers dotted all over the country and all over the world who would just love to have CEF flashcards with which to teach their children. Now again, then there's all the teaching material for the boys and girls. We have the Wonder Devotional booklets. The fact to be able to encourage boys and girls to have a quiet time day by day. We have all the Truth Chaser lessons and so on. All this valuable teaching material to disciple and to help our boys and girls. So again, teaching material for children. How many children in our churches could benefit from these publications? And probably the truth is all children in our churches could really benefit from these publications. So literally there are millions of boys and girls who could benefit from these publications if we get the publications into their hands. Think of evangelistic literature as well that CEF have. This is a picture actually from the Philippines of boys and girls with the Meet the King booklet. So evangelistic literature, how many missions and outreach groups would like to have publications like Meet the King? You know, again, I often have people coming into our factory to see Meet the King booklet saying, I would love to have those there, please. You know, that's a CF publication, you know, and so on. So many people would love to have the publications that CEF have. So partnerships, all right? Now, I've already mentioned the Inspire, but this is now where we start our partnership thinking. We have to share, you know? We have to share our resources. We have to give to get. And we have, you know, if we want to reach boys and girls, what do? We are going to partner with other people to try and reach more of them. So, in other words, what we're going to try and do is bring two groups together. Maybe those who have boys and girls, we bring them together, and at the same time, we have our resources and we bring that to the table as well and see if we can bring the two things together to match. So, today, who can I partner with? Who can I partner with? First of all, I believe that we can partner with church denominations. There are many church denominations. I don't care what part of the world you're from. We don't need to try to list the denominations. There are many names, but there are plenty that we can partner with. And the other group of people is the missions. Other missions as well, who we can partner with. And we can start and work together. So we can have many numerous partnerships, both large and both small. But whenever we start a partnership, it is going to be based on trust. Trust is going to be a very, very important part, because you're going to be sharing some of your resources with somebody else, but at the same time, they are going to be sharing some of their resources with you. And there has to be an element of trust. You will not be able to oversee everything that the other group do, and neither will they be able to oversee everything that you're doing. So there is a great element of trust in a partnership. And this is why you need to be careful at the very beginning who you're going to partner with. But at the same time, it is going to be trust. Now, whenever you're sitting down to start out a partnership, you're going to have to negotiate. It's not necessarily a big business deal that you're negotiating, but you are going to have to negotiate. You're going to have to discuss how and what way you're going to work. Now, if it's a church denomination, you might be able to take them some of your literature, show them the literature, give them some of the literature, offer some training, and say, well, look, if we're giving you this literature, we can come in and we can train you so that you can use our literature in your Sunday schools, in your children's meetings, whatever you want to call them, and you can negotiate. And they might have things that they might want you to do, and they're maybe asking you to do certain things as well. And you discuss those things back and forward till you get basically an agreement between yourselves as to how you're going to work and how you're going to function and so on. And it's good to sit down and discuss those things rather than just launch into some sort of partnership and then find a whole host of problems. Sit down at the beginning, think it through. How are we going to benefit? Who's going to benefit? Boys and girls going to benefit. And benefit is a really a big thing, because whenever you get a partnership and you begin to get that partnership up and going, it will really benefit. Benefit boys and girls. That is what your goal is. You know, remember, it is not to benefit the church denomination, and it is not either to benefit the work of CEF. It is to benefit the reaching of boys and girls with the gospel. So whether you're using the literature or the training, that you go out and you offer training, yes, all those things will benefit reaching the boys and girls. Problems of partnerships. Now, there are always problems, and problems always need to be addressed. One of the things that I will say about a partnership is to focus on the partnership. You know, sometimes whenever we have partnerships, we begin to think that that gives us a right to delve into all sorts of other areas, say within a church. All right? So we're going in to that church, we are maybe training them how to use our literature, we're training them how to work with their children. But you know, maybe at the same time, you have heard some of the music that comes from this particular church. And really, you don't like that style of music at all. And you really think that their music should change, and that they need to get that sorted out as well. And maybe you can start to say, well, you know, really, I think you should change your music, you know, in your church service. All right? And it has nothing to do with you. You have no right to go in there and tell them what to do with their music. You're there to train their children's workers. You're there to share your literature. And what I'm saying to you is, don't delve into other areas that are not your areas. Your areas are children. Focus on the boys and girls. Don't get hooked. Don't get caught up in discussing all sorts of other stuff. Because once you start discussing other stuff that is not your business, well, it's going to help to break down the partnership because you're just going to irritate the other people. And of course, it is not your responsibility. And we need to learn that, to really focus and understand what our responsibility really, really is. That is really, really important. We also need to be careful to avoid, I often say this, avoid minor differences becoming major differences. You know, so often we can get picky. You know, this is not the way we want to do it, you know. You know, we have our games at the beginning of our meeting, all right? No, we have our games at the end of the meeting, you know. And it's something that is really minor. Be careful. Don't get bogged down in minor little details. Because if we start focusing on the minor little details, then they become big within our own minds. And the devil uses these things, you know. And we get so caught up with some minor little difference that it ruins the whole thing. So be very careful. Be careful that you don't get caught up with minor differences. Everybody will have a slightly different way of doing things, saying things, and so on. Yes, we're there to train and we're there to help, but we have to also respect that maybe, you know, we maybe just don't know everything, you know, and just allow a little bit of flexibility between yourselves. It's very important as well that you actually cooperate as well. So vital that you cooperate in everything. Discuss things, cooperate, share everything, but work with real cooperation. And don't be afraid to sit down and talk frequently. You know, I'm talking about the partnership Revival Movement has with CEF. I work very closely with Bogdan Basara, who is your literature coordinator, you know. And he's working with all the different leaders of all the different countries and so on. And we talk very, very frequently. Sometimes we're emailing each other two or three times a day discussing little, you know, little issues that need to be sorted out. We're constantly cooperating. We're constantly, you know, he'll be coming on to me. I've got a problem in this area. Or I'll be going to him. I need something from you. And we work very, very closely together. This is why I come to a conference like this. Not to get speaking, but actually get talking and sharing some of the issues and discussing all sorts of little problems and cooperating all the way. That is so important. You see, coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. But working together is a success. And it is, you know, it is so easy to come together at the beginning. And it's so easy, you know, to get started. But we do need to work at it constantly, that partnership, that working together. to make it a real success. And whenever we make a partnership a real success, then it will be a lasting thing, it will be a growing effect, it will mushroom, it will grow into other ways. Because, you know, once you start out a partnership with even a church denomination, and you eventually get through, you know, other churches will be looking on. CF are in their training in that denomination. Why don't we have them in our denomination as well? And very quickly, it begins to expand. You might get another invitation. Again, other people say, oh, I was visiting that church. You should see the CF flashcards they're using. Why don't we have these in our church as well? And again, we, you know, it spreads. So if you really build up partnerships, it will work, it will spread, and it will grow. You know, one of the other very important things is that we need to inform each other as to what is happening. I've talked about cooperation, but informing what the impact is. What impact is this making, you know? It is so important that we inform each other as to the blessings, the problems. It's not just a case of problems. There is much blessing to be had from partnerships as well. And it is important not to try to, you know, hold all the information, but share that information, that blessing with others. So whenever there is a partnership, and whenever you follow some of these things, then working together makes us stronger. Stronger together. And that is what we are seeking to do. We want to reach more boys and girls with the gospel. And that's why we work with other people. Other people who have the same goal, the same aim, the same desire. They may not have the same equipment, they may not have the same resources, but they may have the same goal. So therefore, stronger together, and we do even more. But you know, I'm going to leave with you, finish here in a second, and I have one very important question. And it's a question that often we don't like really to admit, but it's a question of, who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? And you know, we don't actually ever like to admit, we always say, well, the Lord gets the glory, you know? And that is correct, and that is the way it should be. But sometimes the glory is, you know, it's our work, you know? It was due to our work that all these children were reached. And we get the other side of the partnership very little room at all. And this should not be like that at all. We need to remember, we have come together to work together to reach boys and girls. It does not matter about the glory as far as our organizations, our churches, our missions is concerned. I will illustrate this from even our relationship with CEF. As you know, CEF have, you know, logos, names, etc., on their publications. They give us the PDF files, we print them. We don't say, oh, we need to have Revival Movement Association logos stuck in the middle of a CEF publication. We don't ask for that at all, because it is not important. Why would we stick our logo on, you know? Because we printed it? That's not important. It's not important that we printed, that Revival Movement printed a flashcard for CEF. It's important that flashcard gets out and is used to reach boys and girls. It's not important as to whose name is on it. I will say this to the credit of CEF, that they have now started to put on the wording themselves, printed by Revival Movement Association. But we didn't ask for that. We're not asking them to do that. We're just, they're doing it, but we're not asking them to do it, because it's a partnership. But it's a question as to who gets the glory. That, as far as we're concerned, is not important, whether it's Revival Movement or whether it is a CEF. Just so important today that we get our priorities right. First, two things. First of all, that we have the children do the four in our minds. And then that God really does get the glory. So vitally important that God gets the glory through this, because what we're really doing is reaching boys and girls with the gospel. We want to see their lives being transformed. We want to see them We want to see them, the name of the Lord being uplifted, and young lives being transformed and changed by the power of the gospel. So as far as I'm concerned, that is what I'm speaking about, and about partnerships. So I hope this might help you to think about partnerships going back, whenever you go home to wherever you are from, whether you're from overseas or whether you're from more local, looking for partnerships, looking for other ways of getting in and getting reaching more boys and girls with the gospel.